You know, it reminds me of the guy who wanted to impress this young lady. And he was very excited about impressing her. And he had just got saved and she had been a Christian for a while. And he was reading the Bible when he came to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It said, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." And he thought, wow, what a blessing. I'm going to send that verse to her and that's, you know, just let it kind of be the guide of our relationship, and that we could have this love relationship that has no fear in it. But like I said, he had just got saved and he didn't know the difference between 1 John and the Gospel of John. And so he wrote down John 4:18, and she got it and read the card, and he wrote the verse in there. She said, "Well, let me see what this verse says." And she looked it up and it said, "Thou hast had five husbands, and the man that you were with now is not your husband." See, he had good intentions, right? He had good intentions. And a lot of times, you know, we have good intentions, and misunderstanding is a mystery.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we begin a new series titled, "What We Have is a Failure to Communicate," with the first half of part one, The Misery of Misunderstanding. So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 19, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Misery of Misunderstanding.
And we're going to start a new series today. And the title of the series that we're going to start is probably going to be about a 5-6 week series. The title of the series is What We Have Here is a Failure to Communicate. And we're going to be looking at communication on all different levels, church-wide, in the home, between individuals, looking at some problems that happen in communication. And we're going to look at it all from the biblical perspective, from God's perspective. So that is the title of the series, What We Have Here is a Failure to Communicate. And as we look at our message this morning, we're going to be talking about misunderstanding. And a lot of times between God's people, there seems to be some misunderstandings, and sometimes the misunderstandings can get out of hand. All right. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, it causes problems. And, you know, as we're going to see in the scripture, that God gives us ways to deal with this whole issue of misunderstanding. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, the scripture says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his stead. And David said, I will show kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanan to comfort him. And the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanan, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Are not his servants come unto thee to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land? Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the middle even to their buttocks and sent them away. And there went certain persons and told David how the men were served. And he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards are grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanan and the children of Ammon sent thousands of talents of silver to hire chariots and horsemen out of Mesopotamia and out of Amram Maacah and out of Zobah. So they hired 32,000 chariots, and the king of Maacah and his people who came and encamped before Medeba, and the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities and came to battle." Now, what a shame. David was trying to do something nice. He was trying to show a kindness to this son because his father had treated David so kindly. And David wanted to show some kindness, and so he sent his men to offer an expression of comfort and sympathy. And instead of them receiving it, they misunderstood why David came. And they said that David sent these guys here to spy the land out. And surely once they spy it out, they're going to come back and overtake it. And so they embarrassed these guys. They cut their beards. They took their garments in the back and they cut them so that their backside was exposed. And then they sent them away. And as a result of that, David got a little upset because they had done that. And so now they solicited some of the people from up north to come and help them fight against the Israelites. So now here we got a whole war started because of a misunderstanding. And so today we want to deal with the topic of the misery of misunderstanding. The misery of misunderstanding. Amen. In the bulletin, you have an insert on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King. And on the cover, he is featured on the cover of our bulletin. And also, there is a magazine that's put out in the community, and it's called Rejoice. And this month's issue focuses on honoring Dr. Martin Luther King. And one of the beautiful things about this article is that they have a two-page layout on his life. And it kind of goes through each year that is significant in his life and talks about some of the major events and some of the things that he did. Very excellent. I would recommend that if you have the opportunity, not right now, read it. You know, maybe when the Steeler game is on, you might want, no, just we do have the Rejoice magazines here, and I would ask that you get a copy of it, and just very, very well written. As a matter of fact, it's written by a professor from Long Island University, and he's done an excellent job on that. And once again, you do have the one or two-page biography of Dr. Martin Luther King in the bulletin. But one of the reasons that I mentioned that in along with the message today is because, and I know that Dr. King had a lot of animosity directed toward him for some of the things that he was trying to do, and some people did it out of a malicious spirit, but some people opposed him because they misunderstood him. They didn't know what he was all about. They didn't know that God had touched Dr. Martin Luther King. They didn't know that God called him to be a spokesman to the nation. And as a result of him being a spokesman to the nation, things changed. That people were delivered, and that, you know, many of us sitting here today owe it to him, you know, some of the freedoms and the rights that we have today and as a result of what he did. But coming up in his time, many people misunderstood him, and they thought, as a matter of fact, the FBI had him under investigation because they thought he was a communist. And as a result of that, you know, he was tailed and spied on and everything else. Because why? They misunderstood why he was here. But God had a purpose for him. And just like Dr. King was misunderstood by some, there's going to come a time in our lives that we may find ourselves misunderstood by others. And so we need to understand, well, how would God have us to deal with the situation? How would God have us to respond? You know, because sometimes misunderstandings occur as a result of an innocent word, act, or motive. You know, there's just so many opportunities for people to miscommunicate and for that miscommunication to lead to a misunderstanding. Somebody said there are actually 6 messages that can come across when you have a conversation with a person. One is what you mean to say. 2 is what you actually say. You know, there's a big difference sometimes what you mean to say and what actually comes off of your lips. All right? 3 is what the other person hears. You ever been talking to somebody and they'll, how in the world did you get that out of what I said? Where did you get that from? So, you know, sometimes when a person is listening, that they're listening with all these preconceptions and with all these other issues floating around in their mind. So maybe when you say something, the way that they hear it is based upon something that is in their makeup. And so they don't hear it the way that you meant to say it. So there's what you say, what the other person, what you mean to say, what you actually say, what the other person hears, and then what the other person thinks he or she hears. Number five, what the other person says about what you said. And then number six, what you think the other person said about what you said. Now, you know, there's a whole lot. And you know what? It's funny, and it may be presented in a way of, you know, lightheartedness, but it's so true. I mean, I've just been involved in stuff where people take things the wrong way. And I know I've said, you know, I remember when I first got saved, and, you know, there was a lady in the church, and she was playing the piano. And, you know, I was, you know, growing in the Lord. And I came one Wednesday night, and, you know, she was up there playing. And after church, I mean, I thought I was, you know, coming, trying to encourage and things of that nature. And I said to her, I said, you know, when you're up there playing, you ought to smile a little bit more while you're up there. And as soon as I said that, as soon as I said it, I mean, it was like, oh, man. See, that wasn't what was in my heart. That wasn't what was in my spirit to say. But when it came out, oh, man. And the lady got, she was wounded and offended. And, man, you know, it just, here once again, a miscommunication on my part. And so this thing is so easy, and it often can come because, you know, you have good intentions. You know, maybe your intentions were honorable, and you were coming because you felt that you were doing something that was going to make something better, that was going to enhance the situation, and you ended up making a mess out of it because you were misunderstood. And then, like I said, sometimes people have misunderstandings because they already have a set of ideas and have formulated things in their mind before you even came. And so when you say something, automatically they take it the wrong way. And so, you know, it becomes very important that we work hard. And once again, I know when I'm pointing one finger at y'all, there's three pointing back at me. So I stand here today to say that, you know, I know I need to work on communicating and communicating clearly. So this series of messages hopefully will penetrate my heart and my spirit too, because I know sometimes I can be a little vague in my communication, especially with my wife or my family. You know, you automatically, so, you know, sometimes you think that you know everybody's grooving together, you know, we're grooving together. And so when you feel like you're grooving together, sometimes you feel like you can leave stuff out and say something, and because the other person is grooving with you, they might just pick it up. But that don't happen all the time. And so sometimes we are, you know, we cut our communication short, our communication is unclear, because we maybe assume some things and take some things for granted. So during this series, what we're going to be looking at is how we can effectively communicate with all those around us. So as we look at this, the first thing that I want to say is the mystery. I want to talk about the mystery of misunderstanding, the mystery of misunderstanding, and that's found in verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his stead. And David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent messengers to comfort him concerning his father. So the servants of David came unto the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. And so misunderstandings can occur as a result of good intentions. David had good intentions. David had the best of intentions. As a matter of fact, when oftentimes when we hear that somebody has passed away, you know, we want to go and show up and allow our presence to be a comfort to that individual. And so what David said, well, look, I might not be able to go myself, but let me send some of my people to represent me so that they might comfort him concerning the death of his father. David's intentions were honorable. David's intentions were good. And oftentimes misunderstandings come as a result of people with good intentions. You know, if you look at your notes, Job, his friends had good intentions when they came to comfort him. You know, if you were to go back and read the book of Job, you would see Job went through all these trials and his friends showed up just to bring, their objective was to bring comfort to Job and to ease some of the pain and some of the affliction that he was going through. But they misunderstood what it was that he was dealing with. Eliphaz said, Job, you are suffering because there's sin in your life. He misunderstood Job. Bildad said Job needed to repent. He called for Job to repent. And Zophar said that, Job, you are suffering because you are guilty of sin. They misunderstood Job. Now, here this man was in all this turmoil, affliction. Here his main buddies came to offer him encouragement and to uplift his spirit, and they came to try to be there for him in a time of need, and they misunderstood what he was going through. And as a result of their misunderstanding, Job gets more frustrated. Job said, man, my friends, he said, you guys are miserable comforters. He said, you have missed the whole boat of why it is that you're supposed to be here. And so, my brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes misunderstandings can occur because people have good intentions. And so a lot of times we don't need to question a person's motive. Sometimes the motives can be questioned, but sometimes motives don't need to be questioned. That people are coming because they have a good spirit and they're trying to come in the spirit of reconciliation and the spirit of God. And this is the mystery. How does misunderstanding happen as a result of that? You know, where did this thing go wrong? Where did we miss each other at in all this? It's a mystery sometimes. As I said earlier, have you ever been talking to somebody and then all of a sudden they go off in a direction or they say something and you're standing there like, how did that happen? It blows. How in the world did that happen? Where did that come from? So misunderstandings oftentimes are a mystery. You know, it reminds me of the guy who wanted to impress this young lady. And he was very excited about impressing her. And he had just got saved and she had been a Christian for a while. And he was reading the Bible and he came to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It said, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. He thought, wow, what a blessing. I'm going to send that verse to her and that's, you know, just let it kind of be the God of our relationship and that we could have this love relationship that has no fear in it. But like I said, he had just got saved and he didn't know the difference between 1 John and the Gospel of John. And so he wrote down John 4:18 and she got it and read the card and he wrote the verse in there. She said, well, let me see what this verse says. And she looked it up and it said, thou hast had five husbands. And the man that you were with now is not your husband. See, he had good intentions, right? He had good intentions. And a lot of times, you know, we have good intentions. And misunderstanding is a mystery. The second thing that I want to say is the manipulation of the misunderstanding. Misunderstandings often involve a manipulative element that feeds the misunderstanding. Look at verse 3. But the princes of the children of Amnon said to Hanan, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? So, you know, what do they do? They manipulate this misunderstanding. You know, they come and they feed into it. They put something there that's not actually there. And as I look at misunderstandings, they can very easily be manipulated. Somebody that starts out with good intentions, it can be manipulated. First of all, it can be manipulated by Satan. You know, Satan is the master manipulator. And you know, a lot of times all he wants to do is get in between folk and cause destruction and cause death to relationships. And so he comes in sometimes and he manipulates the misunderstanding so that their hard feelings result and that people begin to separate from one another. And the misunderstanding is manipulated. Now, you know, another thing that can misun- manipulate misunderstandings is self. That if I just let my inhibitions and my thoughts run wild, it can lead me to a lot of things. As a matter of fact, you know, as I thought about how that sometimes we can, when we misunderstand something, if we don't go back and get the facts straight, if we don't go back and get it straight, sometimes, you know, we can go off a little bit. And as a result of that, I did write a song. I did write a song. And this is a song that I wrote, and this song is dedicated to all of us who manipulate things in our minds and take things beyond what they actually are because we don't go check out the facts. This song is for you. Each day through my window, I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, oh, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. And of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to you. But you know what? It was just my imagination. It was just my imagination running away with me. Now look where this guy's imagination takes him. Soon we'll be married and raise a family. A cozy little home in the country, 2 children or maybe 3. I tell you, I can visualize it all. This couldn't be a dream, for it seems all too real. But once again, it was just my imagination. He said, every night on my knees I pray, dear Lord, hear my plea. Don't ever let another take her love from me, or I will surely die. Her love is heavenly. With her arms to enfold me, I hear her tender rhapsody. But in reality, listen to this, in reality, she don't even... She don't even know me. She has absolutely no idea who I am. But you know what? It was just my imagination running away with me. And you know, sometimes when things like that happen, when misunderstandings happen, if we don't go back and check out the facts, if we don't go back and get things straightened out, you know, what happens? Our imagination starts to take off. And we start to go down roads that God never intended for us to go down. That's why it's important to go back. You know, if there's something that you think you misunderstood, and as we move through this series, one of the things that we're going to make clear is that you have to go back and say, is this what you said? You know, is this what you said? Don't take anything for granted. Don't assume anything. Make sure that you understand what the person is saying. And then sometimes, you know, people can manipulate things. You know, people can take a misunderstanding and try to feed into it and make others, you know, go at it with each other. You know, there was a show, and I noticed on TV Land, they started showing the reruns. Anybody remember that show, What's Happening? And there was a little girl in there named Dee. And this little girl, man, I tell you what.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Misery of Misunderstanding. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Misery of Misunderstanding, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Misery of Misunderstanding, or program number 060122. That's 877-831-5060 and request The Misery of Misunderstanding, or program number 060122. Today's teaching was part one of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.